Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the studies that were presented at ASCO. Can you kind of sort of run through what was presented and what your take was on the data?
Right. So there were three presentations. The first was a pooled analysis from the NSABP and American intergroup trials. The second was a focus just on the North American intergroup study to try and tackle this question of sequential versus concurrent trastuzumab. And the third was the European HERA, H-E-R-A trial, which was a study of no therapy or 1 or 2 years of trastuzumab therapy after adjuvant chemotherapy. The pooled NSABP and intergroup data were the first presentation by Dr. Ramon, and they pooled these data because they realized that study accrual was still ongoing in the adjuvant trastuzumab studies in North America. There was a sense of urgency to try and get some answers quickly, and so with the blessing of the National Cancer Institute, the NSABP and the intergroup decided to pool two very separate trials into one, which would be analyzed for disease-free survival, and which asked the question as to whether or not AC followed by paclitaxel with or without trastuzumab would be better. And the results were quite clear. Adding trastuzumab in the pooled analysis substantially lowered the risk of recurrence by about half. There was a very gaudy p-value, something like 3 times 10 to the negative 12th, which everyone made a big deal out of, but suffice it to say this was not due to chance. And I think that the relative risk translated to a very substantial clinical gain. The risk of recurrence in the patients who got chemotherapy alone was actually quite high, 25% recurrence rate at 3 years, nearly 33% recurrence rate at 4 years. And again, adding trastuzumab cut that risk in half.
And it wasn't just chemotherapy, because half the patients had ER-positive tumors, so presumably they got hormone therapy.
That's correct.
Too.
So, of course, they were just randomized to chemotherapy with or without trastuzumab, but you are right, half the women in that study had hormone receptor-positive tumors and presumably did receive anti-estrogen therapy as well.
I mean, when you think about receiving adjuvant chemotherapy and half of the patients getting probably adjuvant hormonal therapy and still having 25% relapses in 2 years, is pretty impressive.
It is, and it just underscores how high risk these HER2-positive breast cancers really are. So the data as they were presented were very clean. And, you know, you sit in the back of the amphitheater and you say, oh, well, that's the data. And now everything is different because you're going to start offering this drug. So I think that there are still things we need to find out. We need to understand better the cardiac toxicity. There is a price to be paid for treatment, which is a greater risk of cardiac toxicity. That risk was about 4% in the NSABP experience with trastuzumab plus chemotherapy versus less than 1% with chemotherapy alone. It is true that in many instances, the cardiac toxicity is reversible, but it's not always reversible. There was a suggestion that women who are older, and this was defined as greater than age 50, or women whose borderline LVEF at baseline started low, sort of between 50 and 55%, might be a particular jeopardy for cardiac toxicity. But clearly, ongoing cardiac surveillance and careful patient selection is still warranted for using this drug.
The other thing was that even though the follow-up, I think, was only about 2 years, they actually saw a survival benefit.
There was a suggestion of a survival benefit in the pooled analysis. There was about a 2 to 3% difference at 2 to 3 years. The difference was statistically significant. Neither study alone had a survival advantage, but the advantage of pooling the data was to get enough events.
I interviewed Ed Ramon right after that presentation. One of the first things I asked him about was a slide that he showed of distant disease-free survival where it kind of dropped down very dramatically. I think it was a 3 or 4 year follow-up. What were your thoughts about that?
Well, I think it is important that most of the events in these trials were distant metastatic events. So in the hormone literature in particular of late, we've included all breast cancer events. That includes contralateral tumors, ipsilateral recurrences, and distant metastases. And that makes sense because hormone receptor positive tumors have a much more indolent natural history and these second breast cancer events matter. But for HER2 positive tumors, which is a more virulent form of the disease, really what you're talking about is preventing distant metastasis. And as you pointed out, even with the short follow-up and even with the availability of trastuzumab in the metastatic setting, there still was a survival difference emerging after just 2 to 3 years.
A number of oncologists have brought up to me the question of, quote, was it legitimate to combine the data from the two trials? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it was legitimate in the sense that, you know, methodologically it was reasonable. I think there was a little bit of ambition. They wanted to be the first ones out with the data. The HERA group was a larger study that had completed accrual a year ago, and they knew that these data would be coming forward. It is worth remembering that the NSABP was originally doing a study looking at overall survival, and the North American Intergroup was doing a study of disease-free survival. It's also worth noting that the North American Intergroup study was going to compare sequential versus concurrent trastuzumab therapy with chemotherapy. And one of the casualties of the early release of the data is I don't think we have a good answer for that question. We'll come back to that, I'm sure, when we talk about the HERA data. And I think that if the results had been less dramatic, you know, statistically significant but less dramatic, then I think it probably would have meant that there was more consternation about why we were looking at these pooled data and why we were looking at them so early.
Yeah, I heard a number of clinical investigators questioning the methodology before the data were presented. We knew that it was going to happen. Well, I think when they saw those curves, they just kind of said, okay.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, the methodology was pretty similar. I mean, all the patients got 4 cycles of AC, then they got 12 weeks of Taxol, either given weekly in the intergroup or every 3 weeks in the NSABP. So I actually think that that isn't a problem. But, you know, next time they do a study, you know, maybe we should be doing one adequately powered trial instead of having two ongoing trials, and that's something the National Cancer Institute and advocates and people like that should probably be discussing.
Yeah, and I heard a lot of people talking about that. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other issues that were presented, specifically the issue of combined versus sequential and Edith Perez's presentation.